So recently I read a great column in the Sage Woman magazine by Nancy Vedder Schultz called Theology with an A, T-H-E-A, theology. And in this, this installment was called Values of Peace and Plenty. And she talks about the problems we face with war and strife in our lives today, and that we're having trouble changing this reality because we don't have a true vision of peace. We keep envisioning peace in terms of the absence of war. Right? It's like war on terrorism, you know. Or that we need to wage peace, right? Which also keeps war inherently in the picture. Right? And we have come to swallow hook, line, and sinker that war is inevitable and that it's been around since the beginning of time, or humankind anyway. However, some of our ancient myths and religious tales actually tell the story of a time when peaceful societies existed, and an unlikely origin of one of these stories is the Hebrew Bible. She tells us, and I quote, "In the book that bears his name, Jeremiah rants to the Israelite people that Yahweh will punish them unless they stop worshiping the Queen of Heaven." Yahweh, as we know, is a jealous God who will accept nothing less than veneration for himself alone. And then a few chapters later in the Old Testament, the Chaldean king, not quite sure how to pronounce that, King Nebuchadnezzar destroys Jerusalem, takes the Israelites as captives to Babylon, and Jeremiah, who was a bullfrog, tells the people that God has fulfilled his prophecy. But they disagree and reply that the reality is actually quite the opposite. It was turning away from the Queen of Heaven that brought destruction on them. Their leaders report that in the past, when they baked cakes for the Queen of Heaven, life was good. They had both peace and plenty. And when they quit worshiping her and turned to Jeremiah's God, war and famine replaced the good life. You can hear that deep story in there. The people tell Jeremiah that they will return to venerating the goddess, they will burn incense in her name, they will pour out libations and bake cakes for the Queen of Heaven. I love it. So, like many of these stories, we can extrapolate more than just what's obvious about them. In this story, we can see that the Queen of Heaven is a communal goddess. Jeremiah angrily accuses the children, and I quote, "of gathering wood, and the fathers kindle the fire, and the women knead the dough to bake cakes for the Queen of Heaven." Like there's something wrong with that. I mean, that sounds like a lovely afternoon to me. We don't know exactly which goddess is referred to here because the name Queen of Heaven served as a title for many of the goddesses of the period, Asherah, Astarte, Anath, who was a descendant of Inanna. But this makes her a goddess of peace and plenty. And when they worshipped her, there was plenty of victuals. You know, victuals are those little hors d'oeuvres with shrimp wrapped in bacon. Anyway, there was an abundance to share. This kind of communal society brings both peace and plenty, neither of which we are experiencing in our society right now. We've come a long way from communal society. We are an individualistic society. And according to research, the U.S. is the most individualistic society in the world. It's because we are the youngest. Now, I want to make sure that you understand, I'm not saying there's anything wrong with maintaining our individuality, our individual identities, setting our personal goals, or our dreaming our highest dreams, right? We each have gifts that we need to bring to the world, and we need to focus to develop what those are. However, when our desires for betterment are geared only and always on ourselves or just our families, right, at the expense of the communities, well, look at our world today, fractured, wounded, traumatized, so out of balance. Think Enron, for example, Bernie Madoff, not very communally minded those. But like the Gaia's Temple vision statement says, we create balance in the world through the worship of the divine feminine. Or in other words, we bake cakes for the Queen of Heaven. So Nancy suggests in this article that the communal values of the Queen of Heaven represent the antidotes to the extreme individualism, which we can see has become so selfishly out of control. And in this article, she delineates six values that could help us balance out contemporary individualism. And the first two are cooperation and compromise. Right? You can't have one without the other, because the only way we always get exactly what we want is to impose our will on others. And that's not true cooperation. So cooperation and compromise. The next value is generosity, which will counteract the greed that is so prevalent today. And I think that generosity is more than just material resources. I think it's generosity of the heart. And I don't think that we are stingy by nature, but I think in this culture that is so based on scarcity, you know, we just hang on tightly to what we have. So generosity is, you know, sorry, can't afford to be generous, sort of thing. That's why I think generosity is from the heart as well as the pocket. And that leads to the next two values, tolerance and flexibility, allowing us to more easily change when the situation calls for it, right? And more easily walk a mile in the other gal's shoes for compassion and perspective and understanding. So flexibility and tolerance. And finally, interdependence, which really encompasses all the other values. It's living our lives conscious that we are, and really always have been, interdependent, relying on mutual assistance, support, and interaction that could be the first steps toward living in peace and harmony. Cooperation, compromise, generosity, tolerance, flexibility, and interdependence. How lovely. Wouldn't it be lovely to bake cakes for the Queen of Heaven? And to know that we as a culture share these values and join together in this labor of love? Blessed be. Let me know. I'll show up and be there, absolutely. So take a moment. Now. Yes, ma'am?
But can we change the word tolerance to acceptance? Because I don't want to be tolerated. I want to be accepted.
Sure. Cannot relate to word choices at all. Sure. We'll make that acceptance rather than tolerance. So if you would, take a moment now, close your eyes and go within. Take a deep breath, bring yourself back to your center. Bring your attention to your third eye in the center of your forehead. Imagine it like an actual eye. Open it up and look out through it and see yourself outdoors on a beautiful day with the tribe. And over there, a group of children, some older, some younger, are walking in from the forest, their arms filled with wood for the fire, and their eyes are bright with pride and excitement. And over there, the men are tending a fire in the fire pit, and the sweet-smelling smoke from dried lavender and rosemary and sage arises. And over there is an outdoor kitchen where the women are kneading the dough to make the cakes for the Queen of Heaven. And over there is a shrine for her. Incense is burning, and several cakes already grace the altar before her. A priestess is pouring out a libation, and everyone is singing. There's no place else you'd rather be right now than with these people, your tribe. You're a part of it all, a member of this tribe, a part of this community. You matter here, and everyone matters to you. Now think for a moment about these values that comprise and ensure a peaceful community of plenty, like the one you're a part of here: cooperation, compromise, generosity, acceptance, flexibility, and interdependence. Now one of these values, maybe more, but choose one, is a bit more difficult for you to enact. Determine which one that is. Is it hard for you to cooperate? Do you feel you must have your own way? Or is it hard for you to compromise? Do you find yourself feeling scarcity, so generosity is a challenge? Or how about acceptance for things you don't understand or agree with or annoy you? Can you be flexible and allow for change? Are you a loner who doesn't find it easy or like to rely on others? Choose one of these values that's a challenge for you now. Each moment is a crossroads. Each moment is a new dawning. Each moment is a new day. What will you do to beautifully meet this challenge? What action can you take? What gesture can you make? What expression can you offer that will demonstrate how you'll step up and change this challenge into ease for the betterment of the tribe? How will you enter into harmonious interconnectedness? Hold this understanding in your heart and in your consciousness. Take a nice deep breath. Good intention for this new year. And then gently open your eyes and come back here.